And now reporting from Winter Storm Bella, Bella. I'll keep it running. We got plenty of time. Well, what do you know?
Not much. You.
Oh, what a crowd!
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we catch up with Texas singer-songwriter and funny man, Kinky Friedman, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who doesn't even think the first snow is beautiful, Michael Feldman.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Can you see me in back? Because I'm in front. I'm not in back.
Oh.
And we don't have a huge crowd here, I would say, but what a great crowd you are. Give yourselves a big round of applause. And, you know, I can do this from the audience as well as anywhere else. I'm just going to sit in the crowd and fill it out a little bit here. Are you expecting someone?
No.
Okay, right. Do you mind?
Not at all.
Okay. Thank you. I noticed you grabbed your purse. That's good. Oh, okay. Well, by the way, there's a storm out there, so a lot
big
of people
storm.
Were
slippery.
Lost in it. Yeah. We lost a lot of people in the storm.
Yeah, we did.
If 6 inches can cover you, you're pretty much gone. All right. How are you? Pretty good?
Good.
Yeah, where are you in from?
Park Ridge, near Chicago.
Well, that is near Chicago. Yeah. What brings you up this way?
You.
We really?
Came to see you.
Through the snow and the slop and the...
Did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
What time did you leave?
Night.
What time did you leave?
Yesterday, about 4:30.
Wow, it took you like almost 14 hours to get here. That's unbelievable.
That's dedication,
no,
Michael.
You slept at the Hilton.
We did.
You had to stop at the Hilton and everything after that ordeal, I would imagine. And how are you finding the Hilton? Nice?
It was very nice.
How are the toiletries, if I might ask?
Elegant. Yeah, brand I never heard of. But
what was it?
Lovely. I don't remember. Some guy's name with three names. Paul.
Oh, yeah, it's like some fake French name.
Right. Something like that.
Do they have, you know what I don't like? They have that soap with bumps on it. Do they have that?
No, there were no bumps.
You know, it's supposed to be like a massage soap or something. I can't stand it. It keeps falling out of your hands.
Yeah, I don't get it. The bumpy soap?
Yeah. Have you seen that?
I have. I don't understand.
Yes. There's no good reason for it.
No. Maybe they're trying to save money.
How would that save money by putting bumps on your soap?
They don't have to make the bars big.
Oh, that's a very good point.
Right.
Are you in the hotel business?
No, I'm not.
What business are you in?
I'm just in business.
Well, do you know what business it is? What are they?
Monkey business, mostly.
Come on now. What does it say on your desk? You have a little plaque in front of your desk?
No, I don't, but I used to be in business. Now I work for the state with Division of Vocational Rehabilitation.
Okay, good. So is this vocation you're rehabilitating your own?
Pretty much.
Okay, now in all the news that isn't, after being freed at the White House, a Thanksgiving turkey was cut down by hundreds of rounds of automatic fire. It's just the way things are going. still some good eating, though, if you pick through. On a rearranged map of the U.S., Ben Carson gives New Hampshire an Atlantic seacoast in hopes of taking the primary, and I think that could turn it his way, I think. Okay. What are you eating there?
A jawbreaker.
A jawbreaker at your age?
Yeah. I don't have much respect for the teeth.
Do you have any more?
Yeah.
I don't want one. I just want to see the size of it before you put it in your mouth. I certainly don't want to see it after it's in your mouth. I mean, is it like a big... No, it's not a jawbreaker.
Well, they're...
A jawbreaker is like that size. I don't know if you can see this at home, but...
Technically, they're gobstoppers.
Gobstoppers are nothing. Not even worth talking about. Where was I?
No.
Ben Carson. Okay, Carson drew the map from memory, does not regret ceding Maine to Canada. End of Carson jokes. Now, Trump jokes. The Trump anti-Muslim tirade actually is frustration at his casinos being shut out at the Emirates. Trump, Dubai, goodbye. Here's another Trump joke that you won't like. Trump, well, I can't read this. Can you read it? Why don't you deliver this? See if you can deliver this. Thank you, though. Thank you again.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You know, this gentleman, what's your name?
My name's Scott.
No one has ever said thank you to me more than you have, Scott.
Well,
really, no one ever married ever said as many times in their entire 30 years, I might add.
You either. Nobody said thank you that many times.
To you?
Right.
I would say thank, because you're very thankful person.
I try to be thoughtful.
Not thoughtful. You're not thoughtful.
Well, thank you.
Where was I? Oh, no, Trump joke. Okay. Trump was a hit of sorts at the Latin Grammys. Hard to say. It was all in Spanish. Cerdo de mierda, hijo de puta. Or translated, he's the one for me. Spanish is not all that good. Allergan and Pfizer merge into Gesundheit. The innovative... Thank you very much. You got a great laugh.
Thank you.
Are you with the thank you guy here?
Yes, I am. I'm very thankful.
Is he this nice around the house?
Yeah, he is.
Really? Is that why you made it? You married him in the first place?
Oh, I'm not married to him.
Oh, you didn't? What's he doing around your house then, if I might inquire?
Many things.
Okay, handyman as well. That's just great. Where was I then? Bad Spanish, stupid Gesundheit joke. Oh, yeah, we're up to this. The innovative junior high make a terrorist recruiting poster in junior high school. The project is gone. It's a victim of the times. Okay. I'm not saying everyone's jumpy, you know, but someone on a Spirit flight let one go and they returned to Fort Lauderdale. Peanuts, too, are the worst. You know, those peanuts. Genetically modified salmon, already brined, smoked, and sliced thin, approved by the FDA. Might as well get your lox fresh, you know, actually swimming around yet. The gene for bad drunks has been discovered, but they're still searching for a round for the house gene. It's very rare. John has that.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. The only guy I've ever seen actually buy a round for the house. You don't remember that, do you? Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the only guy who's ever done that. Dow jumps 150 points. If a world in chaos is what it takes for my IRA, so be it. Yes. Chaos. I don't care. It's my retirement account. Very important for me. Coffee is good for longevity, so your coffee will get cold long before you do. That should be inside a fortune cookie or something. That's not really a joke. Just need to find a place that still has free refills and you could last forever. You never die. Are any places still have free refills? It's a thing of the past, isn't it? When cups were smaller, they could afford to do that. Okay, they have a new tool on Facebook. It's called the Get Off My Damn Feed tool. And it makes it a lot easier to break up on Facebook. It's been a problem breaking up on Facebook. Because there are repercussions if you block your spouse. They take that the wrong way. Or they take it the right way is really the problem. So now I just have to get my wife to get a Facebook account. We'll be in business. Sad story here in Madison as a little Oscar was found crying in the Oscar Mayer parking lot after his Wienermobile was repossessed. Very sad. But you can get a used Wienermobile pretty easy around here. You see lots of them on the lot. Thank you for chuckling at that.
Okay.
Wienermobile should get a bigger laugh, I think. Just the name of it. Wienermobile. Wienermobile. Yes, there was the biggest summer job here for kids at the UW. It was driving the Wienermobile. Isn't they? You can't drive them all, little Oscar. Okay. Now you're just looking at me and not saying thank you. We're almost through with this. Wienermobile joke, nothing. The cows are the only ones not sad about Oscar Mayer leaving, actually. They're not. They won't miss that killing floor, I guess, like I do. Women who want a sperm donor, they want someone who's smart and shy, but it's almost impossible to get it from him.
Oh. So, oh, no.
Okay. Can't be shy and really be a sperm donor. It doesn't. Did you? No, I want to ask you. Okay. AIDS testing is up 150% after Charlie Sheen's announcement. And finally, and I mean that, my coveted 54,216th place in the Green Bay Packers season ticket waiting list is teetering on the outcome of the Vikings game. That's all the news. That is it. Thank you so much. Nice sitting with you. Thank you. I'm going to shake everyone's hand in the audience. Thank you so much. I'm glad. I thought I heard you laugh. I thought I heard you laugh. Thank you for laughing. Thank you for showing some signs of life. Now we're going to body pass me through the audience. Okay. We got through with that. That's the important thing. And just put the humor away. Back to my post here. We got bacon body wash, by the way. I can't wait to put this on in front of my dog. That's later on in the show. We got Archie McPhee guy on. And okay. This is very exciting because we've got Kinky Friedman joining us now from somewhere near San Antonio. And not quite, Kinky, what is near San Antonio?
Hey, Michael.
Hi.
We're right in the heart of Texas here.
Yeah.
Actually, near Kerrville and Bandera, Texas.
Oh, you're on the ranch then, Kerrville, right?
Yeah, we're on the ranch. Yeah. And, of course, I won the governor's race in 2006 here, every place but Texas.
Are you going to run again, or that dishearten
you? I'm getting pretty damn old, Michael. I mean, yeah. I'm 71 now, though yeah. I read at the 73-year-old level.
I think that's hilarious. I don't know.
I want you to tell me if a certain line I've been using very successfully on a whole bunch of shows that we've been doing around the country is racist. Is it funny, not funny, or racist?
Okay, I'll see if I can help you out.
It's in regards to Bernie, which I just spoke to Willie Nelson 2 nights ago, and we are both on the same page politically. We're both for Bernie this time.
Oh, you're for Bernie, yeah. Sure.
So we have never been. He's very far to the left of me. We've never agreed on political stuff.
No.
But this time we do. So, of course, different reasons. I want Bernie to win because I want to see a G in the White House.
Okay, I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't. It's not hilarious.
No, that's not the. The line is. See, I've got to tell you this. This line has been killing audiences in New York, Boston, Chicago. They're on the floor with it.
Okay.
And then I did it on the radio last week, and all hell broke loose. They just hated it. You know?
What NPR, something like that?
No, it's just a AM radio station in San Antonio that should have. At any rate.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now that we've built it up, it's going to flop. But I'm asking you personally. I mean, forget the audience and all that for me. Just like the politicians do.
Yeah.
The audience is the problem. See, the audience begins to think they're the show. That's what the internet has done.
You've always been too far ahead of your audience. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. Too hip for the room, right?
Too hip for the room.
anyway, Michael, if Bernie wins, if he actually wins, that'll be the first time a Jewish family ever moved into a place that a black family just moved out of.
I think that's good. I think it's really good, but you got to have a lot of background to understand that whole, you know.
It is good.
Yeah, no, I liked it. I liked it.
It's good. It's not racist. It's true.
Not, no, it's not. It's true. It's actually true.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. How are you otherwise?
Otherwise, pretty damn good.
Yeah.
We can't say. This is the song "My Bleeps Bleeped Up." You know that song?
Oh yeah.
That thing is really. We recorded that on the new record, "The Loneliest Man I Ever Met."
Yeah.
Is the name of the CD.
Yeah. Great CD.
But that song. Is just going wild.
I think it is,
you know, because Warren wrote it when he was dying of cancer.
Right.
And and it just describes the situation in the country and the world perfectly today.
It does.
Our bleeps bleeped up. That's all.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong.
Our bleeps bleeped. Is it getting airplay? Because if you have to bleep it,
it is getting airplay. Mojo Nixon is playing the hell out of it on Sirius XM. I know that. But, you know, I don't know if you call that. Yeah, it is getting airplay where it can.
Yeah.
I would imagine some colleges and stuff are playing it. But it's definitely being downloaded like mad. I mean, it's a digital hit. So
yeah, it's gone viral.
It's viral, and I have no internet, no email, none of that stuff.
You don't down there, don't no, you? You no. get internet.
How long have you been successfully running this thing, Michael? This is terrific.
It hasn't started yet. I'm getting close to being successful at it.
Now you are. I'm not kidding you. There's nobody that's been around as long as you, except maybe Imus or somebody.
Yeah, and you. It's just basically and me, you, and Imus, you know.
Yeah.
Is Imus a friend of yours, by the way? I don't know. You've been.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Okay.
Imus is living in Texas now, and he says he's growing long hair, and real long, and he's tying it up with a red bandana, and he looks like Willie Nelson's grandmother.
He kind of would, actually, if it was tied up like it. And so are you touring for the album, Kinky?
Yeah, we are. Yeah. We're trying at the Hank Williams level. I mean, that means 30 consecutive shows, Michael, with no break, because we're trying to run as a solo show with this one great guitar player from New Jersey, Joe Cerotti, who joins me. And we do a Christmas card from a hooker in Minneapolis.
Yeah. Tom Waits song.
Tom Waits song.
Yeah.
And that's also doing very well.
I bet, yeah.
So the whole thing is, you've actually heard the record by now? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was when it was sort of kick-started on the air. I kick-started you, man.
All right, baby.
I bought one of the first, before there even was a record, I bought it.
Well, that's great.
Oh, very good. Was it hard to talk Willie into being in on it, or was he...
It was pretty easy. The hard part with Willie was smoking about 8 joints with him before we went into the studio. And I don't smoke pot. And I asked Willie why he smokes so much, and he says to keep down the rage. And he also, I think I shared with you many years ago the advice that Willie gave me.
What was it?
When I ran for governor.
Yeah.
He said, if you're going to have sex with an animal, always make it a horse. Because that way, if things don't work out, at least you know you've got a ride home.
And you're blaming that joke on Willie Nelson. That's what
no, no, that's yeah. That's advice, and it's served me well in politics and in life. But I'll tell you what, the politicians, the Crips and the Bloods, you know, they're getting worse and worse and worse. And I really think, my idea of term limits, limiting them all to 2 terms, one in office and one in prison, is making good sense now.
It's making headway.
Yeah, I mean, they're just dreadful, aren't they? I mean,
see it. It could be much worse.
I mean, all around the world, they're just... Yeah. And what's happened is JFK's dream that all the people in your audience, all the people would get involved in government, would help America, you know, would actively, you know, support the country by getting into politics. That just hasn't happened. So now we have a whole political criminal class.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been a politician and I've been a musician, and I can tell you musicians can run this country a lot better, and we wouldn't get a hell of a lot done in the mornings, that's all.
Yeah.
But we'd work late.
Start later in the day and then work late. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
And I was in this, what about, you know, singing with Willie, though? Like, you traded verses on that.
Yeah.
In fact, we have that song here. Is that a tough thing to do? Do you feel like you were kind of shutting him down as you were singing?
No, it's virtually impossible. It's like acting with Robert Duvall or something. I mean, the guy is just so I'm so high, I need a stepladder to scratch my ass, okay?
Yeah.
And I think the song feels like it's an hour and a half long.
Uh-huh.
The song is Bloody Mary Morning.
Yeah.
One of Willie's best. And actually, when they clocked it was exactly at 3 minutes. Willie brought it in precisely right. And, you know, he's always been a little bit out of step, and that's part of his secret. He's a little bit ahead or a little behind the beat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, compared to what's coming out of Nashville right now, this record is really presents a different possibility. Like Nashville music, country music now sounds like background music for a frat party. You know, it kind of sounds like that.
Yeah.
It's overproduced. The songs are written by a committee. And Nashville, you know, their bleeps bleeped up, just like Hollywood and like Washington.
Well, you know, can we listen to a little bit of that song? Would you mind?
No, I'd love it.
Yeah, let's play a little bit of that. This is Bloody Mary Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a Bloody Mary morning. Baby left me without warning sometime in the night. So I'm flying down to Houston, forgetting her the nature of my flight.
As we taxi toward the runway with the smog and haze reminding me of how I feel. Just a country boy who's learning that the pitfalls of the city are extremely real.
All the nightlife and the parties, temptation and deceit, the order of the day. It's a Bloody Mary morning, 'cause I'm leaving, baby, somewhere in L.A. Well, it's a Bloody Mary morning, baby, left me without warning sometime in the night.
And I'm flying down to Houston for getting her the nature of my flight. Flight 50 cuts a path across the morning sky.
A voice comes on the speaker reassuring us Flight 50 is the way to fly.
And a hostess takes our order, toffee, tea, or something stronger to start off the day.
It's a Bloody Mary morning, I'm leaving baby somewhere in L.A.
Well, it's a Bloody Mary morning, baby left me without warning sometime in the night. And I'm flying down to Houston for getting her the nature of my flight.
Flying down to Houston
for getting her the nature of my flight.
That's a great song. Very nice. I noticed you guys avoided harmonizing, however, on that song.
that would have been difficult, yeah. No, he is a jazz cowboy.
That's, yeah, he is a jazz cowboy. He's very jazzy.
Yeah, no, they won't... see, that's a kind of song. It doesn't have drums, doesn't have a bass on it, really, just a stand-up bass. And it's stripped down to the soul. And so the record companies don't like that kind of thing. They like a full... sound.
Oh, that's
like
great. That sounds
quick
great.
Track or something.
Well, isn't that getting play? That should play in Nashville, shouldn't it?
Yeah, that probably would. And that's on Loneliest Man I Ever Met. And you know, another thing Willie told me, Michael, that I think applies to all of us, at least to old guys like us.
It doesn't involve a horse, does it?
It doesn't involve a horse. He said if you fail at something long enough, you become a legend.
Yeah, that's good. He is a philosopher king, isn't he?
Well, oh, yeah. He's a great one. You know, another great American philosopher was George Carlin.
Yeah.
Who said, he said that we have the illusion of choice. I mean, we think it's a big, big difference whether Hillary gets elected or whether Trump gets elected or whether Bernie gets elected. The truth is, there ain't that much difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. One of those rescue dogs is barking.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've got four Friedmans. They're all very neurotic, and I can't understand why.
The breed is called Friedman?
No. These are mutts. They're poi dogs, you know.
Yeah.
How many dogs or pets do you have, Michael?
I have one at a time. I have one right now.
Well, see, the one gets lonely by himself.
True.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like right now,
the
dog is... alone.
But you're still doing that rescue dog thing, aren't you? You're saving dogs.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Yeah,
absolutely.
How many you got? How many got on the place right now besides
Hey, we might have about 50 right now.
Yeah.
But anybody that's interested in adopting a dog, we can get them to you, actually.
Yeah.
It's utopiarescue.com.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's fantastic.
And
what about the writing career now, Kinky? Are you still doing the detective books, or is that
I wrote a new one last year, and we're now in the process of getting it published. I think it's called The Return of Kinky Friedman by Kinky Friedman. That, I think, is the title, because the detective was died in the last one.
Oh, yeah.
10 years ago. So we're bringing it back, and we'll see what happens. But so far, it looks very promising.
Yeah, you could just you can make some excuse about how they happen to survive. You know, that happens with a lot of these guys. A lot of these detectives actually die, and then appear in the next novel, regardless.
Yeah, yeah. And Sherlock, of course, came back from Reichenbach Falls.
Yeah. Gee, you know a lot of stuff. You were a philosophy major, weren't you, in school? Is that how this all started?
No, I was a Plan 2 major at the University of Texas. Plan 2 is a highly advanced liberal arts program.
Yeah.
And it's mainly distinguished by the fact that every student has some form or other of facial tic.
What was yours at that time?
Well, I've forgotten the first half of my life, so I don't know. All I know, Michael, is that Jesus loves you can be very comforting words unless you hear them in a Mexican prison.
Yes.
That's what I...
These are all songs, too. There's a song that should be written, and by you, I think.
Yeah, that's great. Well,
yeah.
We'll start today.
Are you writing a lot of new material now? Because you didn't do an album for like, what, 40 years or something like that. It wasn't the last one. Was
32. Yeah. Yes, we are.
Sold American was great. That was terrific. But that was a long time ago.
Do you know all this stuff about Nelson Mandela listening to my song, Ride 'em Jew Boy, in prison on Robben Island on a smuggled tape cassette?
Wait, Nelson Mandela was listening to your song, Ride 'em Jew Boy.
That's correct.
In prison on a smuggled tape cassette. No, I didn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they weren't trying to, you know, they smuggled in whatever they could get. But no, I mean, you know, I'm saying, he didn't say, go get me Kinky Friedman's song. He didn't say that.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get much, okay? And I mean, they had to take what they got. So the guy I met in South Africa, I met this guy named Tokyo Seshwale, spelled sex whale. And Tokyo and I were on this national TV show. And the son, Dolly Tombo, is the son of Oliver Tombo, mm-hmm. who was Mandela's mentor,
right.
who died while Mandela was in prison.
Oh.
At any rate, Tokyo told me this, that he was in the cell next to Mandela, that he worked for Mandela. He was his right-hand man. And that he heard him play Sold American, this song, mm-hmm. a few times. And then Mandela stumbled onto Ride 'em Jew Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said Mandela would sign off with that song every night. It'd be the last thing that he would play. And then he told me, but don't get a swelled head about this, Kinky, because you're not his favorite singer.
No.
His favorite singer was Dolly Parton.
Ah.
But, you know, I just started thinking about it. Those guys, Gandhi, Jesus, Martin Luther King, Mandela, that's where the real inspiration still flows from. You know, we don't have anybody like that.
No.
In Africa or in America.
Right.
We don't have anybody. We don't have a little Nelson Mandela coming. Maybe we have a little one coming up somewhere, but you don't see him on the political landscape.
Yeah.
You know, so I just...
It's true. And no statesman and no one really rises above the fray and says things that actually could be of help to us all, you know.
It's, you know, all that's really left, Michael, is you and me.
Yeah, that's it. And that's a serious problem. Yeah,
it's problematic. Yeah.
You and me and Bernie. Bernie's pretty good.
And Bernie. We got Bernie.
Being inspirational.
Well, I just think Bernie's going to run into a meat grinder when he gets past New Hampshire and all and gets into the where money and machinery start counting.
Yeah.
But I sure it would be nice if he could do it. Yeah.
This is not a revival of the Jew Boys, is it, as a band? This album. Do you have any of the original Jew Boys on there?
Yes, Little Jewford.
Little Jewford
plays keyboard. He's a Jew and he drives a Ford. Little Jewford plays a keyboard on A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square and Christmas Card from a Hooker in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
God, that is a great song. That That may be one of the best waits ever wrote.
Yeah, no, it's a terrific song, and he's done it several times. But this your version is fantastic. And well, all he changes that one word. He changes it to, instead of Charlie, it's Kinky, and it works.
Well, yeah, but I can't understand the words in Waits' version. He's so, you know, he's. But it's a beautiful song, and these are not, you know, there's three originals on a record of 12. But sometimes it's hard, you know. Some of Willie's greatest stuff, he did not write. You know, like. Always on My Mind, for instance.
He didn't write that?
No, he didn't write it.
Whose song was that?
Blue Eye. It's a. It was a. I don't know who wrote it, but Elvis recorded it years ago. And then another one is Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. Yeah.
Oh, come on! He wrote that, didn't he?
He did not write it. He just nailed it to the cross. You know, he just delivered it. And that's harder sometimes than writing it.
Yeah. What did you write on this CD?
I wrote Lady Yesterday.
Yesterday. It's a great song.
I wrote The Loneliest Man I Ever Met with my friend Will Hoover when we were struggling songwriters in Nashville about 30 years ago.
Yeah. And who does that song refer to? You mentioned
it. It refers to Tom Paul Glaser, who, along with Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings and maybe Billy Joe Shaver, kind of founded the outlaw movement in country music, where they, you know, did whatever the hell they wanted to do, like artists should do, instead of having the record companies run things. Mm-hmm. And Tom Paul was, but he was a big success in Nashville already. He kind of gave up a lot to go in with the Outlaws. Tom Paul wrote Streets of Baltimore. He also put another log in the fire, was a Shel Silverstein penned hit for Tom Paul. Uh-huh. But anyway, he was kind of the unsung hero of the thing. So that's The Loneliest Man I Ever Met.
And
it's not just Tom Paul. It's, of course, this is not a record, Michael. This is a mirror.
A mirror.
Yeah. You see a lot of yourself in this thing, I think.
Yeah.
If you're... And this is not intended as an educational tool for millennials or anybody. This this record was written and performed for a lost cat, or a dead sweetheart, or a silent witness. Not for any group of people, or Nashville, or Hollywood, or any charts, or any that.
Yeah.
Pardon my Shakespeare.
That's quite all right. Shakespeare used that often. Both
you do?
In private and in print. You know what's missing? There aren't liner notes anymore on albums, you know? Because if anybody deserves to do liner notes for their album, it's you. Because your stuff is you should sing your liner notes. I think it would be just amazing.
Michael, I can't believe it, but this record is turning into a financial pleasure.
It's really
selling. So what the hell?
Yeah, it's not going to affect you in any way. Might you do another one, another 32 years or so? Or
yeah, definitely.
And how about the performing of it? I mean, going on the road again, how does that feel for you?
Oh, that was wonderful. You know, just to be, I mean, come on, 71, how old are, well, you don't have to tell me how old you are, but you're,
ballpark.
I'm sure you look up to me for wisdom and advice, right?
I do, and I'm still waiting for it.
Yeah, well, Jesus. Yeah. Well, at any rate, yeah, you know, this is an eternity in radio right here. How long have I been on this? It feels like an eternity.
I know. Should we stop now? Or
we had a couple good lines.
Yeah, okay. Do you have something you wanted? What's next on your agenda there, or your chores?
Next is going out to L.A. to do some more shows out there.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's always fun. Those will be really good.
And you're well appreciated out there and so forth.
Yeah, it's been really fun. You know, I mean, it is hell driving, you know, being on the road and then playing a show that night.
Yeah.
And but I got to tell you, the crowds have been wonderful. And when you're playing Monday nights and Tuesday nights and all that, to sell out shows is really, you know, after you laid off for 32 years.
Yeah. That's pretty good. It makes
I don't really know why I did that, because the life of a country singer on the road is really a great state of spiritual something or other. I mean, it's a great thing to do. Do it if you can.
Yeah,
you
know? That and the women, right?
Well, there are the women, yeah. But you don't stick around long enough to get involved too much with anybody. So
probably a good thing at this point. And, you know, I like the fact your voice has dropped the register is, really matches the songs now.
Hey, you, I sing better than Lee Marvin, okay? We know that.
Yeah, but he's dead, right. You know. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Kinky, so much.
All right, Michael, take care of yourself.
Great to talk to you, as always. Kinky Friedman, ladies and gentlemen. From the ranch there in Kerrville, where he saves dogs. By the way, if you ever read his detective books, they're very funny, too. And he is a detective in them, of course. And they're quite amusing. The Loneliest Man in the World. Look for it. Buy it. Okay. Yes.
That's a new song, The Postcard from a Hooker from Minneapolis?
That's actually an older Tom Waits song.
Older Tom Waits song. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is quite hilarious, actually.
Yeah.
He did it on a couple of things.
I'll have to check that one out, yeah.
Oh, it's great. All right, how about you then?
Whoa,
our
what
things.
About me? Oh, good.
Yeah, you stayed in town last night. Why did you miss the little blizzard there? Was it worse in Chicago? I bet it was. Huh?
It was worse, like kind of a halfway between, like the state line, Rockford, Janesville. It was, I think it.
What? Yeah, what, something happens there at Rockford. What is
well, it?
It
does. There's some weird, like, jet stream that goes through there, like a 20 mile.
A jet stream that comes through.
Well,
Rockford?
I don't know. I probably shouldn't say that. There's some, like, weather related. force, some kind of energy that goes a small band
through Rockford and
yeah.
Janesville.
It's always like
actually
that.
Between Janesville and Beloit, probably.
Yeah.
It's counterclockwise.
It's almost like a Bermuda Triangle type of thing. You've heard of the Beloit Triangle.
The Beloit Triangle. It makes perfect sense to me. And so this song.
This
here,
song is a.
Jeff, how are you? I didn't mean to ignore you.
Good.
Jeff's good.
Yeah. 94 can be a mess coming up in this kind of weather. Are you okay and everything? To drive at a steady rate of speed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Slow, steady speed.
Slow, steady speed is always good. Yeah. Okay, this. I'm sorry. You're saying this?
This is a tune I wrote for the last couple weeks. So since you're talking about all these songwriters, it's called Waiting for the Sun.
Sounds good. John Tooley and Jeff Hammond on the bass, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, where are the cards here? We, you know, there's a storm raging outside. It's just, there's must be several feet by now. In fact, we're going to have to stay, keep you here tonight. Hope you don't mind, but we have plenty of donuts. They should last us at least for a week or so.
And turnips and apples.
Yes, Chloe, the farmer's market is here. That's the good news. So that we will have turnips. And Brussels sprouts, that's the bad news. So, but thank you for coming out here. That's why, you know, you're not, when I say you're a small audience, I don't mean that in any sense of the word.
Pejorative sense.
Other than literal. I mean, you know, but metaphorically, you are just a great audience for us to have you here. And the good thing about it is that everybody's card gets read. Let's start with Bub Kramer here. Is it Bub?
Bob.
It says Bub here. Isn't that a U?
Let me look. I got my glasses. Yeah, that's Bub.
Bub. I'm sorry. You are now Bub Kramer. UW professor, retired. Okay. Bub, stand up for a second here, and I'll get a... Come over here. Try not to step on your buddy there, Bub. Was that a nickname when you were a youth?
It could have been. Yeah. I went to a small college. One of my classmates is sitting here.
Who's that?
John Hansen.
Oh, John Hansen. Okay.
Hey!
And you were nicknamed Bub for what reason? Get out of the way, Bub.
Whatever it took, yes.
Yeah. What college was it, did you say?
Carleton College, Northfield, Minnesota. Yeah,
beautiful Carleton College. We always applaud anything here. And Carleton is we did a show at Carleton. The Fighting Lutherans.
Oh, the Knights.
The Fighting Lutherans.
The Knights of
the Knights. The Knights.
The Knights of Carleton.
That's what it was.
You're thinking of St. Olaf.
The Diet of Worms.
Saint
the Fighting Olaf. Diet of
yes,
Worms
right.
There at,
yes, indeed.
At Carleton. What did you study at Carleton?
Economics.
Did that pay off for you? Is that what you taught as a professor?
Actually, what paid off for me is marrying Jane.
Yeah.
Who I met at Carleton.
Yeah.
Very successful microbiologist.
She is?
She is, yeah.
So you've been sort of...
Following her around ever since.
Yeah. But you weren't in microbiology yourself.
No, I flunked chemistry, and that was a sign.
Yeah. But you met her in chemistry, the one that you flunked?
Yes, I was telling John the story of spilling the cleaning solution on the lab bench, it running down, disintegrating my pants in the sink, with the two female lab assistants pouring neutralizing solution on it, and I said, chemistry is not my future.
No, but your present was pretty good at the time.
Yeah,
neutralizing your pants.
Neutralizing my pants, and I survived it.
I forget what I started out to ask you, but I think you have an interesting... What would you teach in college, though?
Well, here at the University of Wisconsin, I teach in the business school.
Okay, but what?
Banking and financial markets.
Yeah.
So that's why microbiology is a lot more interesting.
Yeah. And have you made out like a bandit on your own personal investments as a result of all this skill?
Reasonably well, thanks to the state retirement fund. Yay.
Well, that doesn't exist anymore. Sorry about that. Yeah, take that away from you. Well, very nice. Nice to see you here. Thanks for being
okay.
Here.
Yeah, yes.
I really didn't have anything more to say here, but okay. John Hansen there has made some wonderful films up there. And what?
I think it's time to play the quiz.
I have five more cards here. Am I going to get to them or not?
You can save them or maybe
that
get
whole
to
thing
one
was his career and meeting his wife at Carleton. Was the whole audience interaction? Gosh. Okay. Well, we'll get back to that. But first, we're going to play What Do You Know Quiz. Make some noise. Just make some noise. Rustle papers or something. Or if you have change in your pockets, do this. And make whatever noise you make. If you know, something pops when you do that, do that. Let's hear the pops. Anything. And before we can play the quiz, of course, which we're going to do, we have to know can and cannot participate in said quiz. And are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. And you are?
Cat Kelly.
Cat Kelly?
Yes.
Cool. And let me give you this and get out of your way.
The four disclaimers. One, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. 2, gotta do a Tom Sawyer shovel my walk for free thing. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. 3, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to pay the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. 4, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done, Kat. Thank you. Oh, you can keep that. I have no further use for that one. Let's see the hands of those of you interested in playing the What Do You Know quiz. Okay, I saw your hand there since you're sitting right in front of me and you have the whole row to yourself. What happened to the rest of your crowd? Did they not show up?
No.
You stand up for a moment. Or for a while, if you like. How are you?
I'm good.
And you are?
Joe Thompson.
Joe Thompson, you're from around here, Joe?
Madison.
We're in Madison, yes.
Well, south side of Madison.
That would be around here, I guess.
The Arboretum.
You could just say yes to that question.
Yes.
Joe, is it?
Yes.
Are there a lot of Thompsons around here? There's a lot of Thompsons, but are you related to all of them or some of them?
There are a lot of Thompsons, yeah. Period. Yeah. It's like the 17th.
You're not related to any of them? Is it just...
I'm not related to the most infamous one in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
No.
Did you change it from another name to Thompson just so you'd be part of a group? Did you think about Peterson? Because Peterson and Johnson are also very big.
Thompson's like the 12th or 17th most common name in America, actually.
Yeah, but in Wisconsin, Peterson is a really big one.
And Henderson.
There, Peterson.
Gunderson. Gunderson's a big one. Yeah.
Then they think, are you with the clinic and all that?
I'm an Irish Thompson. I'm not a Scandinavian Thompson.
That's okay. Joe, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
I had to do something after I went to the farmer's market.
Okay, something to do after the farmer's market. Come on, Joe. I don't carry grudges. Have a seat there if you would.
This is pretty fancy.
Oh, yeah. That's an auger hide. That's a stuffed emu I've had. That's my mother's lamp from 58th Street, Milwaukee.
I have a phone like this.
That's probably your phone, actually, because they're hard to find, so we took yours, Joe. Say hello. Yes, oh, that's your crowd? Just the crowd? No, you didn't come with anybody.
All I did was go to the farmer's market, and
yeah.
Here I am. I don't
yeah.
know.
And you got, why would you buy Brussels sprouts? Was that all there was or something?
I like cold crops. They're, you know, broccoli, Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, but they're Brussels sprouts. They're not cold crops. Brussels sprouts.
Cold.
Well, what they are.
Anyway.
Cauliflower. What do you do with your Brussels sprouts? Let me ask you this, Joe.
Saute them, you can bake them, you can au gratin them.
That.
There's all kinds of things.
They smell horrible when you saute them. They stew in their own little Brussels sprout juice.
I love
Brussels. John, you have a recipe, don't you?
Well, with butter and garlic, they don't smell bad at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
Little bacon.
Yeah, but anything
yes,
you can cook. Any,
makes
you can cardboard
bacon.
With butter and
you gotta
garlic.
Put bacon in there.
All right, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
And then just throw out the Brussels sprouts when you're done and you got the. I like them because they're actually like little cabbages. You know, you can peel the leaves off them and you think, feel real big, you know. But they taste, I don't know. Not my favorite. What else did you get besides that?
Eggs, bacon, cheese.
Yeah. Are you making an omelet or something? Or what
no, I come to the farmer's market usually a couple times a month.
Yeah.
I got people there that are vendors that I buy all my stuff from.
You got people? Do they know you by name?
Yeah, they know me by name.
Joe.
Yeah, they, Joe, hey, how are you doing?
Here's Joe Thompson. Here's your you say that and half the room turns around.
Yeah, it's one of those names that's pretty common. It's like Bill Smith.
You don't see many Bill Smiths anymore.
No.
Joe Thompsons are everywhere, though. I'll tell you, they're falling out of the trees. Joe,
trust
Joe what do you do for a way of life or a walk of life?
I sell veterinary medical therapy equipment.
Very nice. Okay. And then someone out there plays along with you. And how does that work then, Stephanie Lee?
If people want to play the quiz.
Stephanie Lee, ladies and gentlemen. Did I mention that today? I don't think I did. I'll give you full credit for being who you are.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Okay, according to holiday shoppers, what's the worst thing about holiday shopping? This one thing they all say. the worst thing about holiday shopping. Let's go right now to some holiday shoppers, including Fred, who is in Stoughton. Hey, Fred.
Yes.
Have you done some holiday shopping yet?
Oh, a modest amount.
Modest amount? You're being modest, I'm sure. Fred, what's the worst thing about holiday shopping, according to holiday shoppers?
Oh, I would imagine waiting in line.
What else would you imagine?
Parking.
Okay, anything else you'd imagine?
Having to pay for things.
Okay, those are all good things. And then, but the one thing they always first they always say what?
I went shopping,
but it was so.
Say that again for me, Mike.
I went shopping, but it was so
busy.
Busy. Is that what you meant to say, Fred?
Yes, it was.
Yes, the crowds. Holiday shoppers hate the fact there are other holiday shoppers. It's a form of self-hatred.
I just got lucky, Michael. Yeah. Just got lucky.
You're okay, Fred. It's because I like you. Fred Hunt. You know Joe Thompson?
I do not know Joe, but he sounds like my kind of man because I like Brussels sprouts that way, too.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you know a Joe Thompson, even if it's not him?
I'm going to say yes to that, Michael.
Okay, see?
Everybody knows a Joe Thompson.
Do you know a Fred Hunt, though?
I have to say that I don't know a Fred Hunt.
See, because Hunt is not as common as Thompson.
And his spelling there is H-U-N-D-T.
Yeah. The old way.
It's uncommon.
The old way. Yeah. Fred, what are you doing out there in Stoughton?
Oh, well, I have a small business that I run. Usually this morning I was blowing snow.
Okay. But what's your business then? Give it some business here.
It's a painting business. Sensible Painting is its name.
Sensible Painting?
Yep.
Okay. What's so sensible about your painting?
Well, we try to do a good job at a sensible price.
There you go. Fred Hunt in Stoughton. Look him up, H-U-N-D-T, if you need some painting done. Okay, you two guys. Fred, you met Joe and Joe, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
Okay, you are a team right now. And what do they got to do to play this quiz?
Stephanie Lee? They need to choose from the following categories: current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Fred, what would you like? Fred? 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 Fred, are you all right? Fred? 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 Speak to me, Fred. Fred? Fred, are you there? Fred? If you're near Fred, would you poke him with something and see? I think he's all right.
Seems that we.
It might have been the shock.
We've lost Fred. We're going to call him back. So
we're calling Fred back.
Maybe the lines are down.
Lines could be down because 6 or 8 inches crawls right up the pole there, and a drift especially. You could be halfway up to that first bracket there where you got to step on to get up the pole.
I hope Fred, it's not one of those situations where we're trying to call him and he's trying to call us.
What would you like for the first? We'll get Fred. Don't worry.
I'll go for current events. Okay. I listened to the news a little bit.
All right, talk it over with Fred. Cordon Bleu birds. There are birds called Cordon Bleu birds. Isn't that cute? Have made worldwide news for impressing other mates when they're in their mating display. Something unusual they do while mating, during their mating display. The Cordon Bleu birds. What do they do during their mating display? That's unique. Fred, do you know by any chance? Fred shaking his head. did you hear about this?
I didn't hear this one.
They rub their bellies
and pat their heads at the same time or something?
I'm sorry. They tap dance.
Do you want to give...
Oh, Fred, did you know that they tap danced, those birds?
He's not back.
Fred?
You know, because of my bad phone, I didn't hear what the question was.
Well, about the tap dancing birds, did you know that?
Well, the tap dancing birds, I would imagine they tap dance occasionally.
Well, then I guess we got to give them credit for that.
Sounds good to me.
Right. That'd be one right there.
Thank you.
What happened to you, Fred? I was worried about you.
Well, I don't know. I think it's just the bad weather in my phone.
Okay. So that'd be.
So that's one, right?
And what's left then?
And the remaining categories are people, places, school, science, or odds and ends.
I gotta stop giving questions away for no reason. I know it's bad fun.
You're just too kind-hearted.
Fred, I'll let you pick this one.
Oh, let's try places.
Places. This could be anywhere. Let's see if it is. All right, New Zealand is getting a new flag. I don't know if you noticed that.
And did not.
What?
I did not notice that.
I wasn't speaking to you in specifically, but that's okay. What's the thing on a new New Zealand flag that just screams New Zealandness? There is something on there.
Oh, I know this.
Oh, you know this. Okay.
Yeah, a kiwi bird.
No, it's not the kiwi bird. It's some kind of a plant thing. It looks like, or a frond of some sort. And the question is, what is that thing on the New Zealand, the new New Zealand?
Boy, I'm going to say a palm tree.
No, I'm sorry. It's a silver fern. Silver fern.
Oh, yeah. That was my second choice.
That's a tough one.
Well, they were looking at a kiwi bird, too.
Yeah. They should put it on, but it's on the polish, though.
I thought they might have put a dairy cow on there.
And for our last question, so they've got one right, one wrong.
Oh, you get this right, you win everything.
Remaining categories are people, school, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Joe?
Science.
Okay. What do you like to do for... What's the thing you're most passionate about, Joe, in your spare time?
In my spare time, I spend a lot of time in the arboretum.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. Identifying things?
Yeah, I like the wildflowers in the...
Do you have a favorite wildflower?
Probably the blue-bottle gentian.
I would say so, too. Okay, this probably sounds worse than it is, but we share 40%, 70%, or 90% of our genes with a slimy worm, marine worm, the Pitocotier flava. What percentage? 40, 70, or 90? Gentlemen, need an answer.
I think it's 90, Fred.
40 or 70?
I'm in with Joe on that.
What?
I agree with Joe.
Did you hear all the possibilities?
40, 70, 90.
40, 70, 90.
90% would be like a lot of... It's a worm. It's not a primate.
Hey, it's a very nice worm.
Yeah. 40, 70, or 90?
So you're wanting us to say probably 70 or... probably
70 is fine. Okay. 70. Archie McPhee, story.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.
It's all good.
That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome Archie McPhee CEO Mark Paulo. Plus, thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who wonders where global warming is when you need it, Michael Feldman.
Hi. I was just thinking that. Does that mean nothing to you? All right, pretty good then. You guys going to the game too, or anyone going to the game? Huh? Sit out there and watch Northwestern.
What time is it? Is it at noon?
2:30. It's at 2:30, so still plenty of time for you to
go to the dentist.
Force your way over there. You have to go to the dentist?
Well, 2:30.
You do? Oh, you're 2:30. Oh, God, you're too fast for me.
Sorry.
You know, each week at this time, we get actual memos sent from actual listeners. Here's one. This is from a high school. And here it goes. To all, a subject, Spirit Bus. The message is, the Spirit Bus has been canceled due to lack of interest. Thank you very much for that. The Spirit Bus has been canceled. Come on. Spirit Bus is canceled. And that's an example of a memo, and a short one and a good one. Sweet, short and sweet. We like it that way. And where can they send those memos or whatever?
They can send those memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
And if you're feeling cursive, you want to pen something...
Yes,
how might you do that, Stephanie Lee?
You can send
those. How is your cursive, by the way?
My cursive? It's pretty decent.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't write in cursive a lot anymore, but...
No.
If people want to practice their cursive
and
send it our way, they can send it to you.
Almost only the people who can really use cursive went to Catholic school, I've discovered.
Is that right?
Yes.
I don't know if I have any
observations. If I meet someone who's Catholic, I make them write something out in cursive for me. It's always beautiful. They get the loops and everything right. And my daughter said they don't teach. And when I was wondered why she was writing there, she's writing something that I could not say was hieroglyphic or something. And she said they don't teach cursive in school, Dad.
That's right. They don't teach cursive anymore. And I remember when I used to be a teacher, people were pretty incensed about that.
People you were teaching were incensed about that?
No, my fellow teachers were pretty incensed.
Well, you weren't an English teacher, were you?
I taught math and science, but they still had to write
things.
So it's
not your problem. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, if they want to send their cursive our way.
Send an example of your cursive to us. I'd like to see
Yes, please do. Send it to 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706, care of What Do You Know. Thanks for the memos.
You know, the thing about it, though, is that cursive in handwriting actually stimulates different parts of the brain.
That is
inputting
correct.
On a keyboard. And they're sort of important things. And I think it's because you're actually thinking about forming the letters as you're doing them. You're not just hitting a button or something. So that is probably more valuable in terms of you know, like I write all my jokes in cursive.
In lovely cursive, makes, by the way.
Well, it's
lovely may be a stretch, I've seen.
Well, that's why they're all so meaningful, is what I'm trying to say. They're so deeply meaningful.
That's true.
Thanks to my cursive. My non-Catholic cursive is not very good. Archie McPhee. Now, I don't know if you've never seen an Archie McPhee catalog or even, you know, if you've never used Bacon Body Wash, for example, which is an Archie McPhee exclusive, as everything is with Archie McPhee, instant underpants. I don't know where else you could get underpants in a can. Except from Archie McPhee, these are just assorted googly eyes. They're called emergency googly eyes and such things. I think the original rubber chicken came from Archie McPhee. He's there of course, he's out there in Seattle, and he's got his own store out there. And Mark Palo is the guy, and he started this whole thing, and it's very strange and very wonderful. And let's talk with him right now. Hey, Mark, are you there?
I am here, Michael.
How are you? Are you at work right now?
I'm always at work.
Yeah, are you? That's true, isn't
no,
it?
I'm at home sitting on my houseboat.
Oh, you live on a houseboat up there. That's a way to live in Seattle, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah. Now the ducks come to the door every morning and tap because I feed them Cheerios.
You do. Isn't that nice? So they ask for it, huh? They're tapping.
They do.
Asking for it. Did you try other brands, other cereal brands? And
actually, I use the word Cheerios incorrectly. I use Trader Joe's because it's much cheaper. They're ducks, after all.
Trader Joe's is cheaper at something? That's amazing to me, right?
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark, this is an amazing story. And I have your book here, Who Would Buy This? The Archie mm-hmm. McPhee story. And it really is a good question and a wonderful answer. Your place is unique, I think, in all of mankind and all of history.
Yes.
Because you actually made when I was a kid, we had novelty shops even. You could go in and buy all the exploding cigar loads. You tried my dad's cigar. It didn't work, but it was worth a try. You know, and the spoons with holes in them you put in a sugar bowl and all that stuff. But this goes beyond that, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're part of that tradition, but we've kind of ramped it up to slightly more elegant. And I think some of the things are more sophisticated in the sense that there's multiple levels of what's going on.
Yeah. How did this all come about? In your book, I noticed you sold Bob Dylan his complete works of Albert Camus, which I think
that's
is an interesting
true.
Sidelight. But did that somehow become Archie McPhee, that tendency to do things like that?
The tendency to sell things, I think I was born with. I mean, I started as a child actually kind of doing illegal things.
Yeah. The fireworks thing.
Yeah, there was that. But I've straightened out now, and everything's legit. So.
But you would buy fireworks. You're from Ohio.
In Missouri. Yeah, from Ohio. Yeah. And I'd bring them back, and I would sell them at a huge markup. The problem was, of course, fireworks were illegal in Ohio, and the authorities frowned on 9-year-olds peddling fireworks in the park.
Yeah. So you were this way from the get-go.
Yeah, I was pretty
All right.
much that way.
What was the next big stage in this entrepreneurial approach of yours?
There was also in childhood, it was more of a kind of an experiential business where my brother and I would hook up a train transformer to a metal lawn chair, and then we would charge the neighbor kids 5 cents to be electrocuted. That was a huge success. People lined up for that to get electrocuted, and it was fortunately, I'm sure the statute of limitations is over, because the potential liability for that is just enormous. So.
Yeah. So, and then was it you said you went in after high school, you hitchhiked through Europe and Africa, looking in search of what, meaning?
Yeah, meaning. It was a whole kind of on the road sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, Ohio was at that time a really boring place, and I needed to get out and see the world.
It's a lot better now, though.
Well, they actually have like really good cheese at Whole Foods, and it is a lot better, actually.
Sure.
let's not go there.
No. And so going through Europe and Africa, and you came upon just cultural artifacts that impressed you. Was that what happened?
Yeah, I still was always trying to survive and be self-employed. I mean, I made metal rings and sold them to tourists. I made candles in Denmark and sat in a subway hawking them. I mean, I tried everything that I could possibly do.
Yeah.
So,
did you research some of this? Was there a need for candles in the subway in Denmark? I mean, did you?
It was more of a
gut instinct.
What was simple and what could I do in a tiny apartment? And that was kind of what led to my product selection.
Yeah.
It was really basic. It wasn't until I came back to the U.S. that I got into the really good stuff, like the rubber chicken business.
Yeah. But there's a picture here of you dressed up as a Viking, I believe, with a Viking helmet and horns, and selling hand-knitted sweaters?
Yes. That was on the walking street in Copenhagen, and I was paid $3 an hour to... Yeah. Look like a Viking and tell people to go up the street to this sweater market.
Okay, so that wasn't yours. It was
no.
Yeah,
but I mean, it was a great job, but I had to stand all day, and eventually, I started sitting down on the job, and I was fired. It was painful.
It's the best thing that could have happened to you, really.
Yeah.
So then you were collecting stamps, and then you were collecting old toys, and you're a collector.
Yes. I mean, I did love, I mean, from forever, I loved the stuff in the backs of comic books, the X-ray specs and the squirrel monkeys and all that stuff. And yeah.
And what was that catalog we used to get when we were kids called? The novelties and the X-ray vision glasses and stuff.
Johnson Smith from Michigan.
Yeah. I used to send for that stuff and the hand buzzers and stuff, but... You've gone really beyond that. How did you happen to set up this Archie McPhee thing, which was with your great uncle or something like that?
Right, my wife's great uncle. I took that name just because it was such a snappy, easy to say and spell sort of name.
Yeah.
And it was just a good name. And it was at the time when companies like L.L. Bean and Eddie Bauer were really powerful, and all the marketing people that I read said that you should use a person's name as it'll really connect with people.
Yeah. And Archie McPhee was your ticket to success.
Yeah, that was. And I never met him, although I met his widow, Beth, who came to see us. She was from North Dakota, and she just wept when she saw, you know, what I was doing. I'd ask her permission to take the name, and she saw all the novelties and toys and said how much she would have loved it. It was very touching.
Yeah. And then, so when you started this, what were some of your first items that you, was it the walking chattering teeth or the ant watch or the...
Well, a lot of those classic things I bought from others and resold in the beginning, and then we started making things like, you know, I had all these plastic ants, and then I had all these watches that didn't sell. So, you know, we started taking apart the watches and putting the ants inside the watches. Wow. I mean, it was a constant, any sort of action to change something to try to make it more interesting and sellable.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
And originally, people would bring you things too, right? That were sort of strange carloads of things that nobody wanted, objects.
Yes, that's wonderful, and that still happens to this day. And it's quite interesting to see what people have in garages and basements and yeah. and.
The Japanese fuzzy mechanical bartenders, that was one of those situations?
That was when I would deliver cars from New York to L.A. through Driveaway, and I would stop in drugstores in the Midwest, in like Kansas, Nebraska, and I would find these old Japanese toys covered with dust on the shelves in these stores. And I would just buy them all and fill up the car with these old toys. And then I knew dealers in each city that just, you know, took everything I could come up with. Mm-hmm.
So you started networking, and people took you around, and you came to a place, and like those propaganda posters you found in Kansas in a barn.
Yeah, that's some wonderful stuff.
Yeah,
they're still in boxes, and I look at them, and I said, "Boy, I need to do something with those."
Yeah, you still got them, huh?
I do. I pretty much have everything.
This could have been a serious problem instead of a career, right? This could be just a hoarding thing.
Well, it's a little bit of a hoarding thing, actually. Yeah.
But these posters, what it says on when you drive alone, you drive with Hitler from World War II, right?
Mm-hmm.
About cars.
It was all real stuff.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. At a certain point, though, it happened that these things weren't around anymore. You bought up all you could find, and you had to start making your own.
Right. I searched for old things, and that got to be extremely exhausting because, you know, after you sold them, you didn't have anything left. And I teamed up with an importer who was retiring, who took me to Asia and introduced me to his contacts and basically explained and held my hand on the importing trade. And we started designing our own things, often things that we couldn't get anymore. We would improve them, and we would design them, and we would have them made. And that's been the way it's been for decades now, that just think it up, design it, manufacture it, sell it, and then see what's next.
Yeah, so this is a breakthrough, because this is like in the 80s in China, and probably no one else was doing what you were doing there, and getting these manufacturers to work with you. And
well, there were plenty of people trying to do all kinds of things, but what I was doing was really odd. And it was kind of a swashbuckling time. I mean, it's, you know, I can still remember going to like the city called Shenzhen and seeing ox carts on a dirt street down the middle of it. And that city now has, I think, 12 million people. I mean, the growth has been breathtaking there.
Yeah. Do you still go there and work with your Chinese suppliers, or is that?
Yes, every year. I really enjoy that. A lot of them, I'm working with the sons of the owners who have retired or passed away.
Yeah. What were some of your first ideas that came through the Chinese connection?
This is where the mind goes blank,
yeah.
Because I've done thousands and thousands of things. In the beginning, I didn't have the money to do a lot of the tooling, which is expensive. And one thing that I found were these punching puppets. And we decided we were doing religious things heavy, and we decided to make a nun's habit and put it on this hand puppet that had little levers inside with
punching nuns.
Boxing gloves.
The boxing nuns. I gave that to someone, a Catholic friend,
you?
I might add, yes.
Well, I'll give you a really deep, dark secret about that.
Yeah.
The head on that is Margaret Thatcher.
And you modified it to make it a punching nun.
Well, we just put the habit on it, but I was sitting in the office, and the guy, it was a company that kind of did a lot of political punchers, and they did like Khrushchev and European politicians and Nixon and that sort of thing. And I, you know, I needed just a basic woman, and I saw the head of Thatcher. And I realized that if I just put a habit over that and didn't connect it, nobody would know that it was Thatcher. And it was really amusing when the product really took off that that was the Iron Lady underneath that Nuns habit.
Is that where the rubber chicken came to be, too? Is that, was yours the first of the rubber chickens? I know they had them in vaudeville, didn't they, that people had chickens?
Right. No, it's been around for many, many years. And, you know, a lot of the things I did, it was out of frustration with the U.S. suppliers. There was I used to buy rubber chicken from a company in New York that bought it from Spain. And Spain used to make the best rubber chicken.
Best rubber chicken.
But they really were just unable to keep up with our demand, and I got frustrated. So we went and learned the rubber chicken manufacturing
process
business and brought out our own.
Yeah. And the Monster Women?
That was not ours. It was just an item I found that it had existed and was kind of lost. And we love the Monster Women. We keep thinking of ways to try to bring them back in some way, but we're working on that now.
Oh, they're not? Okay. Whereas the Happy Face Bendy and the various bendies. You've done a lot of bendies of various types.
Right. We had a nice bendy period, and we had a lot of them. The Happy Face one was the first.
Yeah.
Now we just have a bacon bendy, Mr. Bacon. But we're looking at more bendies.
More bendies. You can't reveal sort of which bendies you're looking at now. That would be...
No, that wouldn't be appropriate.
No. The Hindi bendy, I think, was kind of, you know, pushing the envelope a bit with, you know, the...
Yeah. That was when we were looking at basically having a laugh at all religions, and we were running out of religions, so we extended ourselves to Buddhism and Hinduism, and we got a lot of flack on that.
Yeah, I would think.
The biggest flack actually was the most amusing or the most surprising from Buddhists, because we put the head of a cat on the figure of Buddha and called it Cat Buddha. And we had death threats on that one from
Buddhists?
Monks in Thailand. From Buddhists, isn't that? That's not right, is it?
No, it's so un-Buddhist. Whatever. I mean, that's shocking.
Yeah.
I would think they would find that amusing somehow. I do. I like of your new ones now. I'm totally into these squirrel feeders.
Yes.
You can get a squirrel feeder from Archie McPhee, which is actually a big squirrel head that the squirrels stick their heads inside of. So as they're feeding on whatever is in there, they have a giant squirrel head. They're wearing a giant squirrel head. That's my favorite by far. That is amazing.
It is wonderful because it's something that you can spend hours on, because it's really hard to catch that moment, because you want to take a picture of the squirrel with his head just right so it looks like he has a giant head. So, you know, there are plenty of guys spending the weekend trying to get these shots that they can post on social media.
Yeah.
So.
And there are different heads. I like the squirrel head the best, though.
Right.
What else?
We did a horse head in sort of homage to the horse head mask that was such a huge thing for us a few years ago.
Yeah.
And then we recently did a unicorn squirrel feeder.
A unicorn squirrel. Oh, yeah, that'd be worth having.
Yeah. You know, the secret to that is peanut butter. Because you do the inside of the rim of the head with peanut butter, and the squirrel really goes for that.
Yeah. And it's so nice, too, because actually feeding the squirrel instead of feeding these lousy birds all the time, you know, which the squirrels get anyhow, but it's by default, you know. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Was that your idea? It must have been your idea. You take credit for the squirrel feeders?
You know, so much of our stuff we do by our creative team, and somebody comes up with it and somebody adds. I actually don't have a clear memory if that was mine or not. Some of these are mine. Some of them come to me in dreams, and some of them I just spout out. But then I have plenty of other people that we sit around a table every day and you know, we go over thousands and thousands of possibilities, and they come up with the nugget.
Yeah. What are some of your proudest creations? Is it the glass, the urine containers? You can use the pitchers that look like urine containers, or the Hokey Pokey sound machine, or the Howdy Doody keychain, or the tiki mugs? What are you proudest of? personally?
A lot of those are pretty old, like the Howdy Doody one. That was a warehouse find in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And that was really important to the company because that kept us going for years. The Hokey Pokey record player thing was actually from my friend that had the Axeman stores in St. Paul. Hmm. He found that. And, you know, a lot of this stuff is basically
that record player, is that where that little truck actually plays the record?
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of this stuff is just manufacturing mistakes or timing mistakes by other companies. And you know, when we see it, we grab it. And we wait 10 years and we sell it. So.
Yeah. What was that one you mentioned in there? The guy with the blue hair. And it was a manufacturing mistake, and you said, send us more, but they messed it up.
Oh, that was excellent. Yeah, they put the wrong heads on the body, so we had, like, these kind of transvestite dolls that were really hot. I mean, that's one of the most fun things, is to find a legitimate mistake that nobody along the way knows is, like, gold. I mean, those dolls were gold.
And then they end up making some for you, but they missed the point entirely.
Yeah. Then that's typical.
Yeah, typical. But what about the dog and cat Buddhas? Once again, flack, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, that was a lot of flack. We have a few religious items, but not very much. The country's gotten so polarized, it's just too exhausting to deal with all of the upset people, you know, that just can't look at this stuff in a kind of amusing, lighthearted way and feel terribly threatened by it. So, I mean, it's interesting how the popular culture items that we sell kind of mimic the heartbeat of America. And we can see, you know, as we see the country kind of polarize, we can see it in how people purchase and how they react to things, because we're pretty much all about poking fun at the absurdity of life, and people don't have much of a sense of humor anymore.
Yeah. So, like the Jesus action figure, probably not a big seller now, or it's still a big seller.
Well,
but
we dropped the action figure. We still have the dashboard figure. The things work best where you get people from both sides saying, "I'm really happy you have this."
Yeah,
but once it just moves to one side or the other, it kind of doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. Anything to offend the Jews here? I'm looking for that is my background.
Well, we did do a rabbi punching puppet.
Oh,
I mean, that was very sick. I mean, again, like I said, we tried to cover every religion we could find.
See, I would say that good form there. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
No
mm-hmm.
problem with that. The various head sharpeners are nice.
Yes.
And sin glasses.
Yeah, that's an old historical item. We don't have sin glasses any longer.
No, we don't. Okay.
No.
And the pee guy, I guess that was a good one. You didn't do the baby peeing and that wasn't yours.
No, that we didn't do that. Yeah. But the pee guy was again an existing item. That's from a statue in Europe. I think it's in Spain. It's a big festival or something. And it just cracked me up that they actually had a guy peeing. And we just said, no, we'll just put it in a bag and say pee guy and see what happens.
Yeah. And the narwhal, I think, is that a big one for you right now, the avenging narwhal?
Yes. The narwhal, obviously, is the unicorn was huge and continues to be a huge item.
Narwhal.
And then the natural evolution was to bring in the narwhal, we thought. So we have narwhals and unicorns fighting and have them as buddies. And, you know, we're working the whole, you know, anything with a nice long horn coming out of your face is a good item.
Yeah. What's your biggest seller right now? I mean, what can't you keep in stock? Flies out the window.
What's really flying are the new hand-blown Christmas ornaments, with the squirrel and underpants. Here we took two themes and put them together, and it was really a home run. Squirrels, which have been good to us, and underpants, which is a huge category. You just the word underpants, there's something about it that connects to people.
Yeah, literally. Excellent. Yeah. Wonderful.
The other thing we're working on is we're mixing centaurs with humans. We have a Christmas ornament called Santar, which is the top half is Santa, and the bottom half is the centaur horse part. That's a big item. And Derpy Cat, which we do have to do some explaining for what Derpy is. But once people get it, they go for the whole cat thing is just huge.
Yeah.
And then Bigfoot is
big for you.
Yeah, it's really, really great. We're doing a lot of Bigfoot stuff.
You have that Bigfoot that leaves prints, right?
The figure?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have the action figure. And
and he leaves, it's like a stamp pad thing, or he leaves tracks as you move him.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
And then the really big item of the year, though, are our finger hands. These are anatomically correct miniature hands that you put on the end of your finger, and you can do tiny high fives with other people.
See, that's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing because the artist that did that, Scott Heffernan, he used his own hand, and he now has like this huge following of people that love his hand. And so he's got kind of like a cult thing going on. I actually became a little jealous and decided to do a foot. And I used my foot. And there was a lot of grumbling about it because I had to like take my shoes and socks off and be photographed and do CAD drawing for the engineering, but you will be seeing my foot in miniature in a few months, and I'm hoping for like a real sweep of the country with my foot and the resultant adulation that should come from that.
Yeah, you deserve it. You certainly deserve it for all you do. But what will people do with your foot? Where would it be worn on the toes?
Think about it. You know, in terms of walking, you know, one on your two main fingers. You can walk with it. I mean, again, part of the fun of this thing is watching what people do with it because they're buying our things to take pictures of and put it on Instagram and Facebook. And it is just it's just wonderful to every day see what new goofy thing people have done and how happy it's made them.
It does. You know, this stuff that does make you happy because it takes you totally out of the present time into a different realm of totally unexpected things, juxtaposed usually in what you do, and it's a wonderful thing. On Twitter, like I follow you on Twitter, and I see it on there, and I write back. Sometimes I say, "Just this crazy is stupid," and I love it. Thank you so much, you know, because it just puts you in a different place. That's important.
Well, we appreciate that you get it.
You get it. Thanks, Mark. Very nice talking with you. By the way, the book is called Who Would Buy This? And it's worth asking the question and answering it as well. And thank you, Mark, very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Pal over there in Seattle. Archie McPhee, ladies and gentlemen. He's one of a kind. Oh, yeah. How many of you have Archie McPhee stuff or have purchased at some time? And Archie McPhee, what do you have, sir? Jesus on your dashboard?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? Yeah. You got to get into this, people. Yes, what do you got?
We had the rubber chicken.
Rubber chicken.
We used to fly it at the hockey games.
I had hockey games, yeah. Good. Anyone else? You guys got to get with it. This is really happening now. This is breaking all over. Yes, and cubicle. I mean, in the state office building, I bet if we went through the cubicles there in the state office building, we would find them littered.
With sea monkeys. Little miniature sea monkeys.
And other Archie McPhee things. So that's cool. Yes. You, yourself?
Sea monkeys.
You have sea monkeys?
I had sea monkeys. Yeah.
You did? Actual living, those little things?
I don't know what they were.
They were like shrimp or something, weren't they?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. They were definitely not monkeys.
No.
Okay.
Or from the sea.
Jeff, any Archie McPhee for you?
I'm not sure.
Ever get the potato shooter gun?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's Archie. Okay, John, that last song of yours was excellent, by the way.
Thanks. This is another song, not from me, but no. This was 1959.
Yeah.
Song of the Year. Won a Grammy. You'll recognize it.
Okay. I'll try not to sing it because it's right up my alley.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
What did I do with the cards? Then? Oh, there they are. Okay, there. So I was going to say, I do have some, I'm a little disappointed in so few of you actually have used Archie McPhee products because they are in life improvers. They really are life enhancers and improvers, and they put you on a whole different level. So is there anyone here who would use the Instant Underpants? What?
You never know.
Does that mean you would use them? Or it means you never know if you would use them?
I would never know if I would or wouldn't use them.
Cat? If your name is Cat, I think you would need Instant Underpants.
Thank you very much.
Now, you don't need to send me a picture of them in use or anything like that, but just send me, let me know that you've used them.
If you want, I will use these. I will send you a photograph.
Well, if you have to, you have to. I'm not saying I'm not. Got to let them dry first, though. You put them in water, and then they expand, and then you got to dry them out before you use them. Because I think you put them on, well, I don't know what would happen.
They're unisex, too, so.
They are unisex, so anything goes. Good luck with those. All right, now that was an easy sell. However, the bacon body wash. Smell bacon fresh. I guess you would not have to, if you don't have a dog, do you have a dog?
My dog would love that.
But you have to wear it.
No, I would wash them in it. Oh. And it would be better than them rolling in things outside. So.
Well, all right. I think you're, I honestly think you're defeating the purpose of it. Huh? Do you have more than one dog? Because you could be eaten alive if you wore it.
That's true.
Yeah. Maybe what kind of dog do you have?
Golden retrievers. And maybe they'll just lick each other, and I'll never have to give them a bath again.
You ever feeling like you want to leave the world behind? Just cover yourself in bacon body wash and go greet your dog.
Maybe like that Seinfeld where every dog is chasing Elaine down the street. Yes. Thank you.
Bacon body wash. Let me know how that works for you. These, I don't know. These are not so great. I don't. These are okay. These are just emergency googly eyes, when you need to stick googly eyes on something, and
not Google you, eyes. Don't get confused.
Is this young man here? What use would you have for those?
I guess I never could say. I don't know.
Just whatever comes up.
Pretty much. It's for an emergency.
Well, have you ever been in a situation where you need googly eyes? I find making things for the kids. You know, you need a good pair of googly eyes, and then you'll always have that with you.
Yeah.
I would carry it with you at all times.
Yeah, I'll put it in a backpack. I'll have it everywhere. Yeah, okay. An adventure.
Okay, let me see you put it in your backpack. I want to make sure that you're actually, you're not just jazzing me. Yeah. Okay, cool. It's in with the, oh, you were at the farmer's market too?
Yeah.
What'd you get there?
I got, man. Oatmeal, squash, and bread. Yeah. Covering the bases for the week.
What are you going to do with that?
Probably eat it.
You do that, is the squash for the oatmeal or the vice versa?
No, I got to ration my meals. I'm in college.
Okay, well, good. It's better than macaroni, I guess. That's how we lived on like 4 years on macaroni. 5 years, many of us. Let's see now. Are you going to run for governor? No, Joe Thompson. You already saw him here today. So, Scott Schlicker. Scott Schlicker. Oh, that's you.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay.
So
Scott
you
Schlicker.
Guy.
you live in Green Bay and you serve persons with disabilities. Where will the Wiener Mobile go? I think it goes to Chicago with everything else.
I think that's a great idea. What? Send it to Chicago.
Why is that a great idea?
Because it's going with the company. People don't want that bad reminder driving around.
I love love seeing the Wiener Mobile around. I think we should keep it here physically if we have to.
Well, I don't want to disappoint the crowd, so it should stay here.
Did anyone ever have that? Anyone ever have that? The best summer job ever is driving the Wiener Mobile. Anyone ever do it?
Okay. I was inside it once.
Yeah. A student that drove the Wiener Mobile. Yeah. Real eye opener, I bet. Because you meet a lot of people. Travel the country in the Wiener Mobile, which is actually, it was a Chevy underneath it, I think. Wasn't it? Chevy? And they put the Wiener on top?
John says he was inside the Wiener Mobile.
John, were you inside the Wiener Mobile?
I was inside the Wiener Mobile.
Yes.
It was quite a few years ago, but yeah.
Do you remember the context? How it happened?
It was like at a street fair, and would you like to come and go inside the Wienermobile?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never went inside the Wienermobile. Now I feel like I've lost that opportunity.
Yeah, it's probably gone forever now.
In Milwaukee, it used to come around and throw out Wiener whistles, which kids would then choke on. Yeah. Remember the Wiener whistle? Choking? Yeah. Major choking hazard. Choked half the kids in my grade school on Wiener whistles. Little. What?
They'll put it in the Smithsonian, the Wienermobile.
With the space capsules, wherever they have those things, they have the Wienermobile. It's ground-based, but still, it's amazing. Will we have a warm winter? Oh, come on. Lisa Tiedemann, I hate this question. I am more than what I do for a job. Lisa? Oh, hi. How are you? Come on, stand up here a second. Meet Lisa Tiedemann, everyone. Don't you like her already? You are so like, you could do anything. You're so likable.
Oh,
You don't want to run for an office, right?
Thank you. No, yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
And what is this? I
think it's a trick question.
Oh, I am more than what I do for a job?
Yeah.
It's something you would say.
No. Yes, it might be. Yes. If you met me and you said, what do you do? I'd probably say lots of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because you don't like the question of what you do.
The question.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's sad when you think about it. When you meet someone, like in the audience, they say, "What do you do?" Right. It always comes to that stuff. And they said, "What have you? What are you? What are you?
Do you make a lot of money? Do you?
No, it's not that. It's like asking a cattle rancher how many head he's got. You shouldn't do that. It's none of your damn business. Each one of them is like $5,000. You know, so you can add them up and say how much he's worth or something.
Sure, yeah.
So I would never say, how many cattle do you have?
No, I guess not.
No, I really can't ask you what you do or anything, so I can't really know what I can say to you. What are the things that you love to do?
Oh, I love to be outside. I love to garden.
What do you do when you're outside?
Garden? Yeah, garden. We like to travel, hike. Yeah, yeah. Spend time with family and friends. Yeah. Go to funny shows.
Play the quiz?
Sure.
Okay, come on. Come on. I like you. You're so likable. No seat there. It's also that problem. And, all right. Lisa, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I will do it. Try the last name again. I'll murder that once. Someone out there plays along with you, okay?
Okay.
Familiar with that whole context. And now we got to get someone on the phone, don't we?
That's right.
Okay. Should I ask a question?
Please do.
Okay.
So if people want to play the quiz, they should pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
You're not wearing your mustache.
I couldn't get it to attach to my face.
I don't know how that's supposed to hang on there.
I don't either. I don't have an appendage that will just automatically... Maybe I'm supposed to...
No, it's... I don't know where
pitch
you
it
would
between
actually,
my... I don't know.
I don't even want to say it. Let's see. What did I say? Oh, no, this is the one about the jeans thing. I did that one already, did I? Or didn't I? Did I ask this thing about the jeans? Yes, I did. Okay, the worm. Okay. All right. I want to know who said this quote. Well, for once, the rich white man is in control. That's the quote. I want to know, basically, is it from The Simpsons or is it Donald Trump, I guess. So the first person who... It could be either Mr. Burns or Donald. Let's see who can get knows what that quote is. Bruno in Memphis. Well, for once, the rich white man is in control. Was it Mr. Burns or Donald Trump?
I would say Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns is exactly right, Bruno. Congratulations. You nailed that one. Are you a big Simpsons fan?
Actually, no, but I don't think Donald Trump would make a statement like that. I think that would be even too outrageous for him.
Even for him, you think, huh? Bruno, this is Lisa. She's your partner in crime here.
How do you do, Lisa?
Very well, Bruno. How are you?
So far, so good here in Lady Memphis.
All right.
What are you doing? Are you got time to do this, Bruno?
Oh, absolutely. I got time.
Yeah. What's the rest of your day like?
Well, I got to travel to Atlanta today for business, but that's later on. So now I'm just sitting here watching it rain.
Watching it rain?
Yes, rainy and gloomy here in Memphis today.
Yeah. What business are you in?
I work for WWE. We're having a Survivor Series in Atlanta tomorrow, and I have to do that today. It's a big event.
Oh, yeah? What is the big event there?
The Survivor Series pay-per-view.
Oh, no kidding. How cool.
Yes, sir.
Are you involved in that on the performing level?
No, I was for years and years and years. I work behind the scenes now. I talked to you before when I was on the performing level. I was none other than Harvey Whippleman.
No kidding.
Yes, sir. Wow. I talked to you years ago.
That's fantastic. So now you're on the right end of the business, huh? A little easier in this end.
Yeah, a lot easier and a lot more talent.
Okay, two of you are a team, Bruno and Lisa. We have various categories, have we not, Stephanie?
We do. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Bruno, take it. What would you like?
Well, I'll tell you what, ladies first. I'll let my partner choose the first category.
Okay, Lisa?
School.
School it is. To dampen the pain of a shot, should you hum a happy tune, play Minecraft in your head? Or hold your breath.
Hum a happy tune.
What do you think, Lisa?
I'm humming.
Okay, I'll agree with that statement.
Yes, hum a happy tune. It damages the pain of a shot and annoys the doctor. So
that's one right, and the remaining categories are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Bruno?
How about current events?
Current events right out of the news, or maybe not. Yes, mollusks have made the news, called the chitons, mollusks named the chitons, because they have various dots on their shell, hundreds of them actually, dots on their shell. But what's unusual about these dots on their shell, these chitons, and they made the news all around the world, really. Talk it over. Lisa knows.
What do you think, Bruno?
Well, it was... Michael said you know, so I'll let you
oh, okay.
say it, because I have heard this one.
Can I ask for a lifeline? No.
you were nodding before I thought.
Do they glow? Are they iridescent dots?
That's not what... No. There's various little eye-like...
Do they spell something out?
No, they're not for advertising purposes or anything. Oh, it's a good idea. You could get the mollusk trade.
I honestly hadn't heard this. No, I can't even play it again.
Oh, they're actually eyes in their shells.
Eyes.
Hundreds of them, and they actually function as eyes. So that's okay. That would be...
That's one right, one wrong, and the remaining categories are people, places, science, or odds and ends.
That's a tough question, mollusks.
Your turn, Lisa.
People, please.
People, these are kind of survey results or what have you. All right. Smartphone owners rate we want to know what things are rated as very important by smartphone users. Okay. In fact, what is the most important thing of these that they rate? This is the smartphone users. What do they rate as very important? Is it the smartphone itself? A pet that they have, or their grandmothers? Number one of importance to smartphone users for no particular reason.
Well, since you're saying it's smartphone users, I'd almost have to say the smartphone itself.
Okay, talk it over. Lisa?
People like their pets, Bruno. I don't know.
Oh, well, they don't care for their grandma, huh?
Well, I think grandma's sad.
I would say their grandmother.
They care them. Okay. Oh, we're all over the place.
All over the place, yeah. Smartphone, pet, or grandma, according to smartphone users, what's a very important test to them?
All right, let's go with grandma, Bruno. I'll go with you.
Okay.
Grandma.
All right.
81% say grandma. 65% a pet, and only 47% think the smartphone is that important. Okay.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, that's good to hear, isn't it?
So that's two right, one wrong, and the remaining categories are places, science, or odds and ends.
All right.
How about places?
places. Okay, let's see what we got here. All right, okay. The garden variety bird showing up, the biggest increase in Britain right now, the biggest bird in the gardens right now, there's been an increase in some birds in Britain. Is it the blue tit, the long-tailed tit, or the goldfinch?
Oh, my God. Can we have a hand?
I don't know. I guess any British gardeners? Big increase in the numbers.
Was it the blue tit, the long-tailed tit? Were they both blue?
I'm not sure about that. They both are tits, though. But the goldfinch.
The goldfinch.
It's just a wild guess, so let's say the goldfinch. I don't know.
He just doesn't want to say the word tit.
That's what it is. It's a bird. It's a legitimate bird. They have a lot of them. We don't seem to have them here, do we?
So the long tail then.
I couldn't talk him out of the goldfinch if I wanted to.
So you're saying goldfinch?
No.
I think we have to go with goldfinch.
Goldfinch is right. Right. Saves the problem.
There you go.
Yes. There's a legion of goldfinches in British gardens even as we speak. Isn't that amazing? And they pulled that one off.
That is amazing. That is amazing. Yes. That's three right, one wrong. The remaining categories are science and odds and ends.
Oh, that means they won, doesn't it?
Oh. You didn't ring your bell, so I had no idea that they won.
Yeah, no, they won, yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Lisa, thanks to El Nino and global warming, you'll be able to fire up the grill to prepare Thanksgiving dinner using Kickapoo John's lump charcoal, Michael's favorite, made in small batches with no additives, no chemicals, and no petroleum products or binders from Colliers John Gibbs and Rick Nickel. Bruno, from social and scientific research to remote possibilities and paranoia, you'll find it all in Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other by Michael Feldman, including the CD My Life the Musical from Terrace Books. And both of you can tackle household chores with the Crack Spackle gift bucket, including a generous certificate for merchandise from the Duluth Trading Company, and wax nostalgic listening to a quarter century's distillation of priceless What Do You Know comedy on the CD compilation The First 25 Years Are the Hardest. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. Nice job.
Pleasure to keep the laughs going.
I will make sure you get that stuff.
Click over to notmuch.com. You can join our Facebook family, keep up with Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com. Don't miss a live performance from Robbie Foulkes when What Do You Know returns to Monona Terrace on Saturday, December 5th. Information on timing and tickets is available at notmuch.com. And join us for the upcoming annual What Do You Know holiday office party. There will be food, eggnog, and music from polka legend Steve Meisner. Find out more about the festivities and secure your ticket over at notmuch.com.
They're going like hotcakes.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Hannah Pogue, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Blaine with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Holberg. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
Thank you guys for coming. Thanks for listening at home. Make sure you're here on the 5th. Robbie Foulkes, always great. You want to see that. And don't forget the office party. Can't call it a Christmas party anymore, but it is. Secretly, it's a Christmas party. But any holiday you want to celebrate, it is an office party. So come here. Lots of nog and lots of good things to eat. Thank you.
WRFI, Public Radio International.